we are in the midst of a presidential election, perhaps the most consequential in generations, a contest that will determine the course of this nation for years, perhaps decades to come. Not only is it a debate about big issues, health care, jobs, energy, education, retirement security, but it's also a debate about values. How do we keep ourselves safe and secure while preserving our liberties? How do we restore trust in a government that seems increasingly removed from its people and dominated by special interests? How do we ensure that in an increasingly global economy, the winners maintain allegiance to the less fortunate? And how do we resolve our differences at a time of increasing diversity? Finally, it's worth considering the meaning of patriotism because the question of who is or is not a patriot all too often poisons our political debates in ways that divide us rather than bring us together. I've come to know this from my own experience on the campaign trail. Throughout my life, I've always taken my deep and abiding love for this country as a given. It was how I was raised. It is what propelled me into public service. It is why I am running for president. And yet, at certain times over the last 16 months, I've found, for the first time, my patriotism challenged. At times, as a result of my own carelessness, more often as a result of the desire by some to score political points and raise fears and doubts about who I am and what I stand for. So let me say this at the outset of my remarks. I will never question the patriotism of others in this campaign. None of us expect that arguments about patriotism will or should vanish entirely. After all, when we argue about patriotism, we're arguing about who we are as a country, and more importantly, who we should be. But surely we can agree that no party or political philosophy has a monopoly on patriotism. And surely we can arrive at a definition of patriotism that, however rough and imperfect, captures the best of America's common spirit. What would such a definition look like? For me, as for most Americans, patriotism starts as a gut instinct, a loyalty and love for country that's rooted in some of my earliest memories. Now, I'm not just talking about the recitations of the Pledge of Allegiance or the Thanksgiving pageants at school or the same fireworks on the 4th of July that we just heard from earlier from Vince. Rather, as wonderful these things may be, I'm referring to the way the American ideal wove its way throughout the lessons of my family, the lessons that my family taught me as a child. As I got older, that gut instinct that so many of us have, that America is the greatest country on earth, would survive. That gut instinct, that knowledge would survive my growing awareness of our nation's imperfections, its ongoing racial strife, the perversions of our political system that were laid bare during the Watergate hearings, the wrenching poverty of the Mississippi Delta and the hills of Appalachia and inner cities and rural communities all across America. That instinct that this is the greatest country on earth survived not only because, in my mind, the joys of American life and culture, its vitality, its variety, its freedom, always outweighed its imperfections, but because I learned that what makes America great has never been its perfection, but the belief that it can be made better. It is this essential American idea that we are not constrained by the accident of birth, but can make of our lives what we will, that has defined my life, just as it has defined the life of so many other Americans. And that's why, for me, patriotism is always more than just loyalty to a place on a map or a certain kind of people. Instead, it's also loyalty to America's ideals, ideals for which anyone can sacrifice or defend or give their last full measure of devotion. I believe it is this loyalty that allows a country teeming with different races and ethnicities, religions and customs to come together as one. It is the application of these ideals that separates us from Zimbabwe, where the opposition party and their supporters have been silently hunted, tortured, or killed. It separates us from Burma, where tens of thousands continue to struggle for basic food and shelter in the wake of a monstrous storm because the military junta fears opening up the country to outsiders. Or Iraq, where despite the heroic efforts of our military, men and women like Vince, and the courage of many ordinary Iraqis, even limited cooperation between various factions, remains far too elusive. I believe those who attack America's flaws without acknowledging the singular greatness of our ideals and their proven capacity to inspire a better world do not truly understand America. Of course, precisely because America isn't perfect, precisely because our ideals constantly demand more from us, patriotism can never be defined as loyalty to any particular leader or government or policy. As Mark Twain, that greatest of American satirists and proud son of Missouri, once wrote, "Patriotism is supporting your country all the time and your government when it deserves it." That's what patriotism is. That's what patriotism is. Now, we may hope that our leaders and our government stand up for our ideals, stand up for what's right. And there are many times in our history when that's occurred. But when our laws, when our leaders or our government are out of alignment with those ideals, then the dissent of ordinary Americans may prove to be one of the truest expressions of patriotism. The young preacher from Georgia, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who led a movement to help America confront our tragic history of racial injustice and live up to the meaning of our creed, he was a patriot. The young soldier who first spoke about the prisoner abuse at Abu Ghraib, he is a patriot. Recognizing a wrong being committed in this country's name, insisting that we deliver on the promise of our Constitution, these are the acts of patriots, men and women who are defending what is best in America. And we should never forget that, especially when we disagree with them, especially when they make us uncomfortable with their words. That's part of the American tradition. That's part of why we are proud to be Americans. Beyond a loyalty to America's ideals, beyond a willingness to dissent on behalf of those ideals, I also believe that patriotism must, if it is to mean anything, involve the willingness to sacrifice, to give up something we value on behalf of a larger cause. Now, for those who fought under the flag of this nation, for the young veterans like Vince, the young veterans I meet when I visit Walter Reed, for those like John McCain, who have endured physical torment in service to our country, no further proof of such sacrifice is necessary. Let me also add that no one should ever devalue that service, especially for the sake of a political campaign, and that goes for supporters of both sides. We must always express our profound gratitude for the service of our men and women in uniform, period, full stop. So government can do its part. We must remember, though, that true patriotism cannot be forced or legislated with a mere set of government programs. Instead, it must reside in the hearts of our people and cultivated in the heart of our culture and nurtured in the hearts of our children. As we begin our fourth century as a nation, it is easy to take the extraordinary nature of America for granted. But it is our responsibility as Americans and as parents to instill that history in our children, both at home and at school. The loss of quality civic education from so many of our classrooms has left too many young Americans without the most basic knowledge of who our forefathers are, or what they did, or the significance of the founding documents that bear their names. Too many children are ignorant of the sheer effort, the risks and sacrifices made by previous generations to ensure that this country survived war and depression through the great struggles of civil and social and workers' rights. It is up to us then to teach them. It is up to us to teach them that even though we have faced great challenges and made our share of mistakes, we have always been able to come together and make this nation stronger and more prosperous and more united and more just. It's up to us to teach them that America has been a force for good in the world and that other nations and other people have looked to us as the last best hope on earth. It is up to us to teach them that it is good to give back to one's community, that it is honorable to serve in the military, that it is vital to participate in our democracy and make our voices heard. And it is up to us to teach our children a lesson that those of us in politics all too often forget, that patriotism involves not only defending this country against external threat, but also working constantly to make America a better place for future generations. When we pile up mountains of debt for the next generation to absorb, or put off changes to our energy policies, knowing full well the potential consequences of inaction, we are placing our short-term interests ahead of the nation's long-term well-being. When we fail to educate effectively millions of our children so that they might compete in a global economy, or we fail to invest in the basic scientific research that has driven innovation in this country, we risk leaving behind an America that has fallen in the ranks of the world. Just as patriotism involves each of us making a commitment to this nation that extends beyond our own individual immediate self-interest, so must that commitment extend beyond our own time. It was the most famous son of independence, Harry S. Truman, who sat in the White House during his final days in office and said in his farewell address, "When Franklin Roosevelt died, I felt there must be millions, a million men better qualified than I to take up the presidential task. But through all of it, through all the years I have worked here in this room, I have been well aware that I did not really work alone, that you were working with me. No president could ever hope to lead our country or to sustain the burdens of this office, save the people helped with their support. That's what Truman said, and in the end, it may be this quality that best describes patriotism in my mind. Not just a love of America in the abstract, but a very particular love for and faith in the American people. That's why our hearts swell with pride at the sight of our flag. Why we shed a tear as the lonely notes of tap sound. For we know that the greatness of this country, its victories in war, its enormous wealth, its scientific and cultural achievements, all result from the energy and imagination of the American people. Their toil, drive, struggle, their restlessness and humor and quiet heroism. That's the liberty we defend. The liberty of each of us to pursue our own dreams. That's the equality we seek. Not an equality of results, but the chance of every single one of us to make it if we try. That's the community we strive to build. One in which we trust in this sometimes messy democracy of ours. One in which we continue to insist that there is nothing we cannot do when we put our mind to it. One in which we see ourselves as part of a larger story, our own fates wrapped up in the fates of those who share allegiance to America's happy and singular creed. That's what patriotism means to me.